In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, Amen. Brothers and sisters, the gospel today contains a very important maxim, one that you must follow every day. I follow it every day. It has helped me immensely. There's been good days, there's been bad days. But I've always followed this maxim, and it's always been true. That maxim, that command that is given to us is come and see. It's as simple as that. There's much that we don't know, that we don't understand, a lot of things wrong. There's some things that are right. We don't know how to fix things. We don't know how to learn things. Or we might know how to learn how to, change the brakes on a car, but I'm not talking about that kind of learning. I'm talking about learning the deep things of God. We don't understand how to get there. But God does. So in all these things that are really important and difficult in our life, the command is come and see. Now before that command, Nathanael says something that is quite interesting. He says, when Philip says, "We found the Messiah," he says, "Can any good thing come out of Nazareth?" And the reason he said that is because Nazareth was a city of ill repute. It was sort of a city on the wrong side of the tracks. It's interesting that Matthew says that he dwelt in Nazareth. This is after the nativity narration. And they dwelt in Nazareth. And so as it is written, he shall be called a Nazarene. It's interesting, actually, that quotation exists nowhere that we can find it. It is, many people, I myself believe, it's sort of Matthew's summation of how our Lord would be referred to, because Nazareth is a place of ill repute, and our Lord was considered to be a person of ill repute. People said that he was a devil, that he was a wine bibber, that he was a heretic, a Samaritan. And so kind of saying that he's from Nazareth kind of sums up all those things. But he, of course, was physically from Nazareth. He lived in Nazareth, born in Bethlehem, but lived in Nazareth. Now, generally, let's be honest with ourselves. Often if we know where someone's from or what their education is or our family is, we have a preconception about them. We think, well, they can't do this, or they can't do that, or they won't think like this. Well, that's the preconception that Nathanael had. Anybody from Nazareth wouldn't turn out to be very good, and certainly the Messiah wouldn't come from Nazareth. Well, that's how he was thinking in a worldly way. But the reason why his thoughts were preserved is because we all have our own Nazareths. Lots of them. A lot of times we suffer, I know, I'm a confessor, we suffer from pessimism and despair, despondency, negative thoughts, not believing that we can conquer our sins or our bad habits, not believing that we can actually have something good come out of a relationship that's gone bad, or that someone whom we love who's in a bad way, that things are going to turn out well. Most of us suffer from this. And it's really terrible that we do, because that's not living according to the resurrection. In the preaching in the gospel, in the beginning of our Lord's ministry, it was said, the kingdom of heaven is within you. Well, heaven is perfect and holy. If the kingdom is within us, and indeed, the Holy Spirit abides within us, why are we so negative and pessimistic? Most of us are. Most of you are. On some level, something that you really can't believe. Well, the answer is here. Because those things that you really can't believe are going to turn out okay are your Nazareth. You've seen evidence to back up your belief, right? You've had the same bad habit for years. Why would you change? The same bad situation for years, why would it change? so you can see things from a worldly perspective that would say that your assessment would be correct. But not from a spiritual perspective. God can change people. We're going to celebrate St. Mary of Egypt soon. People who knew her in Egypt, people who are with her on that ship, would they believe her story? They would probably think, oh, that's not possible. She was just a prostitute and a drunk. And yet, what happened with her? Much good came out of her Nazareth, didn't it? She became like an angel. When she prayed, she would be in the air. She had powerful prayer and was powerfully holy and pure. And this can happen with all of us. Our Nazareth can be changed. And all we need to do to have a change is come and see. It's really as simple as that. I'm not asking you to suspend disbelief, because that's sort of a mind game we play. And don't do that. But believe that God can change you. Believe it. If you can't really believe it very well, then be like the man who had the son who was demon-possessed. Lord, I believe, help my unbelief. But you know, belief is not just saying, I say this is possible. Belief is acting according to what you know. And so, when we come and see, we must live the Christian life and expect the Lord to bless us. He will bless us if we live the Christian life. So, some of you are not so good at fasting. And some of you don't really see completely the reason to fast. It's still an external thing to you. I talk about it a lot because it shouldn't be external. It should be very internal. It should really teach you very much. But for a lot of people, fasting is just something difficult and hard. And oh my gosh, I just can't stand the idea that I can't have this or that or cream in my coffee or I can't have hamburgers or there's nothing to eat when I'm out. And people have a lot of trouble with fasting. And you don't see the improvement that it could make. Well, come and see. Try it. Do it. And there will be improvement in your life. Now, if you do it grudgingly, there won't be any improvement because our fast has to be to bring us closer to God, to make us more God-like. So if we fast but we're irritable, that doesn't help us a whole lot. In that case, I still recommend that you try to fast. Well, you should talk to me about the irritability. But come and see that your fasting will help you. I fasted now for many years. Don't remember. Let's see. I was baptized in 1980. So you do the math. And I don't want to know the kind of person I would be if I hadn't fasted all those years. I know it's made a huge difference in my life. Just like any other human being, I've had plenty of problems, plenty of maturing to do, still have maturing that I'm going through, many mistakes in judgment and in my attitudes. But fasting sort of leveled these things out and helped me. Come and see. If you're inconsistent in fasting, you got to fix that because that really will help you. What about humbling yourself around people that are proud? A lot of times the proud people are the ones who get the things that they want, and we don't get them. In work environments, the proud people are the ones that get the awards. That put themselves forward, that take credit for things sometimes they didn't do. We're supposed to humble ourselves, but we're not getting much credit for it. The scriptures, actually I think of all the scriptures as the gospel because it's all the good news because Jesus is on every page. But anyway, the scriptures speak of this problem, especially in Proverbs and in the Psalms. Come and see. Humble yourself, because if you humble yourself, you will make yourself an abode for the Holy Spirit. And there will be joy that you cannot even anticipate. But you have to endure. You have to come and see. Let's say you want to increase your prayer. You're not praying that much. You increase your prayer, and you know what? That week, things are just as
bad at home and things are just as bad at work and you're just as irritable and the traffic is just as bad as usual and there's even maybe more frustrations. I would say if you've increased your prayer and there's more frustrations, that's a sign that you're doing something important, actually, because the evil one wants you to quit. Come and see. Keep doing it. Endure. And God will help you. There's really no other way to do things. There's no quick way to do things. There is no equivalent in the spiritual life of these commercials where they have this supposed miracle diet aid or miracle exerciser that you exercise 2 minutes a day and you look like some sort of model. That doesn't happen. It doesn't happen in real life and it doesn't happen in the spiritual life. The way that you have peace in your heart is with struggle and fasting, following the commandments, humbling yourself, shutting up when you want to talk. It's another one that's difficult. Curbing your tongue. Because you might not see immediate results from curbing your tongue. A lot of times, you know, well, basically all the times, arguments are two people that are engaging in one another. So if you stop the engagement, the other person might not realize it for maybe a few weeks. But eventually they will. Are you willing to wait that period of time and come and see? This principle works for everything. And the reason why we live mediocre lives is because we give up too soon. Sometimes it takes a long time for things to change. Sort of the new dogma-less Christianity doesn't want to think it takes a long time for things to change. Or basically, what they do is they change that the definition of sin so that basically everything's okay. But not everything is okay. There's a lot of things that are not okay in our lives. Your heart tells you that. What are you going to do about it? You're just going to be sad? You're just going to run away from it? You're going to be frustrated? Come and see. You're going to have to change some things. If you're lazy, you're going to have to be less lazy. If you're not fasting, you're going to start fasting. At least from something. If you pray very little, then you got to start to pray more. Sometimes I ask people if they pray and they say yes. And when I find out what they mean, they say Ochanash once a day. Our Father once a day. That's not enough. That's not enough. Would that be enough talking to your wife? I don't think so. So you need to work. But with the expectation that our Lord will manifest himself in your life. You've got to have that certainty in your life. And if you do, then you will be successful. Absolutely, positively, no doubt about it. All you need to do is come and see. That is the principle of life that is being taught in this gospel. And then after the Nathanael is told by Philip, come and see, he sees Jesus. Right? And Jesus says, you know, I saw you when you were under the fig tree, and Nathanael's amazed about that because obviously he wasn't visible to Christ when he was under the fig tree. And he says, are you amazed at things like this? You shall see greater things than these. Now, of course, that's referring to all the things that the apostles saw and did, all the amazing miracles that occurred. But it's also referring to the answer to that question. Can anything good come out of Nazareth? Come and see, and even more than you would wish for, even more than you can imagine, even more that you could hope for will happen. Greater things than these. Eye hath not seen nor ear heard, says the scripture, regarding blessedness, the blessedness that we will have in heaven. So believe it. And if you don't believe it that well, then at least believe it as much as you can. Start with what you got and do something. Don't just sit around saying, this isn't going to change. Don't ever say that. Don't ever, ever say that something in your life that you wish would change won't change. I'm talking about spiritual things now. You know, if you're poor and you want to be rich, I really, that's unimportant how much money you have. I can say honestly that I don't think I'll ever be a rich man. That doesn't matter to me. It shouldn't matter to you. But what should matter to you is that you will be a man with the riches of holiness in your heart. Don't ever say that you won't be holy. Don't ever say that you won't be a person with sobriety and self-control and be able to conquer this sin or that sin. Never. Because that's a lie. That's a lie from the father of lies. All you need to do is come and see. And the harder you work, believing, God will reward. It's as simple as that. You know, it might be some people like really complicated theological things. It's not complicated. You got problems, give them to God and struggle with the answers that he gives you. Now, he's not going to talk to you on the telephone. He's going to give the answers through the urging of the Holy Spirit and through simple things that we know are part of the Christian life. To humble ourselves, to fast, to follow the commandments, come to the services. Many of you don't come to many services. And I talk to you about it, and you have problems in your life, and you tell me. And I say, well, you should go to more services. And then you come back again and tell me you have problems in your life, and I should say you go to more services. Come and see. Find out what it's going to happen. When I became Orthodox, I was there all the time. Any service that there was, I was there in the before it started and after it ended. Often I was the last one out. And that has helped me immensely. Because as I said with fasting, I don't know what kind of person I would be. I don't want to know what kind of person I would have been without being in all these services and having them nourish me. Come and see. Find out. Find out what it's going to do for you. Believe that it's going to make a difference in your life, because it will. I know by experience that these things make a difference in my life. I wouldn't be alive without them. So come and see. That's my invitation to you. That's the gospel's invitation to you today. Come and see. Struggle a little bit more than you are now. Make some changes. Now, don't try to make too big a changes. You know, if you make too big a changes, then you'll just fall flat on your face. Be sensible about it. Talk to me about it. But come and see. Make some changes. And then expect that God's going to help you. And it will happen. God bless you and help you in all things. Amen.